Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the Sports Wrap Up. This is the week of February 7th. We're going to look back this week in the week of sports, talk about what's happening. Mostly the Olympics kicked off officially last Friday with the opening ceremonies. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to talk about the African Cup of Nations. And we're going to give a little update on the Premier League. We'd like to hop around these different leagues and check out what's happening midway through the season. So we're going to do that and a whole lot more. My name is Grace. I am here with some special guests. First, I'd like to introduce the great Pooya Zampakili. Pooya, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Grace. I'm very happy to be here, part of your new podcast. Excited to talk all things sports. And yeah, it's, you know, the thing is, the fact that podcasting for me has become pretty much TV. Mm-hmm. Getting to talk about non-TV sports is on TV, but you know, it's different. And I'm excited to experience that.
Yeah, a whole different world from the unscripted and the scripted TV that we watch. We're not alone. We've brought in our Olympics ringer, DJ LaBelle Klein, a.k.a. Troy. How you doing, Troy?
I am great. This is my moment I have been waiting for. It is the Olympic season, and I am in my fullest form. So I'm delighted to be here. We'll talk about other sports, I promise. But boy, I love the Olympics, even if it totally ruins my sleep schedule.
I mean, other sports, the Olympics is like many, many
sports. It's all the sports.
It's all the sports. Yeah, that's all the good ones about it. Yeah.
No offense. Sorry. But you know what? Football, soccer, that's in the Summer Olympics. So we'll count it. We claim it.
We've had a lot of football, NFL talk the last few weeks. So we were taking a slight break. It was up. There was the Pro Bowl this weekend, which we might touch on at the end of the show, but it is officially Olympic season, Winter Olympics. They kicked off this past Friday with their opening ceremonies. Although I was very confused, Troy, you have to get into this, that there was Olympic games scheduled before the opening ceremonies. That seemed like blasphemy to me. But before we get into the Olympics, I always like to ask our guests sort of what's your sports background? What do you watch? Who are your teams? Things like that. So Pooya, why don't you kick us off?
What, as far as Olympic events go?
No, not Olympics. Anything.
Oh, usually general sports.
General sports. Yeah. Why are you here on the sports wrap-up?
Okay. Well, as far as sports go for me, I grew up watching soccer. Soccer was like the sport for me. And you know, everyone around me growing up in the Middle East, that's to be expected. And then somewhere along the way, it was like light basketball pickup. Then I moved to Canada for university. And then hockey came into the mix. Then hockey left. Basketball got reintroduced. So I'll give you the three teams from those three sports. Okay. So soccer club goes, Premier League goes. It's Manchester United. Has always been Manchester United, even though it makes me weep. Okay. So there's that.
Yeah.
basketball, obviously, it's the Toronto Raptors. That's, you know, it's to be expected. And then again, it makes me weep, but hockey is the Ottawa Senators. Okay.
Oh no. I didn't know this.
I went to university in Ottawa. I backed Ottawa. I was like, listen, everyone else here is either the Habs or the Maple Leafs. I was like, nah, we're Sens fans here.
Okay. Yeah,
big mistake.
One day. That's fine. I think that's fine. I mean, I think it's not as, to me as a Leafs fan, it's not as blasphemous if you were. Montreal Canadiens fan. So I could take a Sens fan.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, they were decent when I first got there. You know, we had Carlson, we had Mika.
Yeah,
it was good. Alfredson, like, it was looking nice, and then it started looking less nice.
Gosh, I feel like these days with the Raptors, like, I feel like we're in like hangover mode. We're like, they're okay. They're doing pretty well. They're in like sixth place, but I just feel kind of like, yeah, we have a championship in like the last few years. So like, I don't really care what else happens. Like, they're bad a bit, you know.
We're still riding the highs of that. And like, you know, it makes sense. We literally went out of nowhere, got Kawhi, got a championship. Kawhi left. Yeah. The team rebuilt. And now we've got a new young core and it's looking good.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, if this year, if the Heat win and Kyle Lowry gets another ring, that's fine. That's like a bad take as a Raptors fan. Somebody out there is like screaming, like, you have to cheer.
It depends. I feel like that depends on the person. I feel like some people, when they're a fan of a team, if you leave their team, you're a traitor. Whereas I've never had that feeling in me. I'm like, I get sad if one of my favorite players leaves, but thanks for giving us what you gave us, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't need to be like 100% on that, you know? And I'm kind of like, I love bandwagon fans. That's another hot take I have, that like, I remember when the Blue Jays did well a few years ago, like the friends of mine who were like, I never watched baseball, this is so fun. It's like, yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun when your team wins, and there are a lot of people like to go to the games. All right. Very good. Troy, what about you? What's your like sports background?
Oh boy. Well, speaking of bandwagon fans, the wagon is open, folks. Mm-hmm. Come on to the Cincinnati Bengals bandwagon.
Yeah.
Just in time before the inevitable Super Bowl victory. The first ever Super Bowl win from the Cincinnati Bengals, it would be the first in my like living memory that we're even in there. So I guess I should start. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, which is a couple of hours away from Cincinnati. That was the closest pro sports town. So I was a big Cincinnati Reds fan as a kid. Okay. Chris Sabo, Barry Larkin era, for anyone who follows baseball. I also was kind of like an Atlanta Braves fan, because at that time in the mid 90s, how could you not be? I got like Bengals by proxy, but we were so bad. Mm-hmm. The Bengals, like, you talk about the Senators, like, this was like, you know, Golden State Warriors bad, back in the day. I only saw the Bengals on ESPN, as the highlights for the other team. That was literally like, we were the Bengals.
Right.
So the opportunity now to like be in the Super Bowl, I don't follow the NFL super closely. I don't know the team like way in depth. I was very scared I was going to have to analyze the team and everything to come on the pod and have substance. But yeah. Nope. So anyway, Bengals, Reds. I grew up in Kentucky, so college basketball is a big deal here. So I just never got into NBA. Which
that's makes y'all, sense, yeah.
When y'all talk about it, I probably am like in that, you know, percentage of listeners who are like, they're saying words, they're saying names.
Yeah.
But the through line for me has always been the Olympics. Ever since I was a little kid. I mean, I still remember like some of my earliest memories that I can still remember are like Christy Yamaguchi in Albertville, and then like Lillehammer and all of the games in like 1994. And just like, I kind of really got into the more like, I guess, obscure sports. So like, I got big into tennis and following international volleyball. And then I went down like a rabbit hole of following sumo wrestling and all kinds of other random things that aren't even on the Olympics.
We'll do a sumo deep dive one day.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so great. Like literally perhaps the greatest sumo of all time retired. It's fascinating. I don't follow it as closely anymore, but I phase in and out of following different sports. That's where I end up knowing a little bit about a lot of things.
Okay, we'll take that. I mean, but let's jump into it. You're a big Olympics fan. And they kicked off this past Friday. What is it about the Olympics, Troy? What is it that you love so much about it?
I'll answer your first question that you asked maybe before we started, which is they did kick off Friday, but they also kind of kicked off Wednesday and also kind of Thursday. And the reason is just because they pack in so much, right? Is that they just don't have enough time to do it all in 14 days. And so they start early. And they do that in the Summer Olympics too. And I guess that kind of gets to answer your current question, which is like what I love so much about it. It's just all the things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally for 2 weeks straight. you finish watching one event and there's immediately something else to watch. You're bouncing back and forth between figure skating and bobsled and, you know, ice hockey. And it's just like it's eating from the buffet of sports wonderfulness. And I think it also hits at this like idealism that I have. And you could definitely make the argument about like corporatism and the other known issues with the Olympics. But the notion of like all these countries coming together and all these athletes who are like investing so much time and effort to do their best on the world stage, even from obscurity, that's amazing to me and just like pulls at my heartstrings.
Yeah, I do think there's something really cool about sort of the spotlight being on these like sports that we don't otherwise watch the rest of the year is one thing that I very much love about the Olympics, that like, you know, whether it's like figure skating or like even more niche, like when you get into like luge and some of this stuff, I'm a big curling fan, even like outside of the Olympics. But I know like this is the time of year where people are like, yeah, I really get into curling for 2 weeks of the year. It's like this moment that these athletes who like work so hard and don't necessarily get, you know, there are like world championships and other things, but never is there this much attention as when it's the Olympics. I think that's really neat and cool. We should probably like preamble, you know, the Olympics, you know, especially where they're being held this year.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you, yeah. You know,
yeah. I mean, we talked about this a little bit offline, but I feel like we want to be in a place where we can just like talk with unabashed joy about the cool performances and the competitions. And you really can't right now. At very least on the podcast, it's worth acknowledging that the Olympics are happening in the context of Beijing, China. And it's a country that has a pretty long history of human rights abuses and present of human rights abuses. No country has a monopoly on doing the right thing. But I think between the crackdown on democracy protests and the camps with Uyghurs in Western China, and even just like the cutdown on free speech, our athletes in China right now cannot speak freely. And I think that's worth acknowledging as like a bit of a context setting before we get too far down the road of celebrating how awesome and fun they are. Sports are just sports, but they're still people in context. So things like that do matter.
Yeah, for sure. People who always are like, take the politics out of sports. It's like, it's literally impossible. There's no way to separate the two. I'm sorry. They are intrinsically linked. And so, yeah, they've chosen to have the Olympics in China. There's a lot of ways in which that is being protested. Government officials, I think, from the United States and many other countries chose not to send official representatives to the Olympic Games, even if the athletes are competing. I know there's some stuff where like the athletes are told, like, don't bring your own cell phones. It's like, feels not great, but so we just want to acknowledge that up front, that we're certainly viewing it from that lens. Trey, one of the things I like wanted to chat with you about is like, what should I be like looking out for? What should we and the listeners, what should like, what is the stuff that we should be eyeing on the Olympic stage? What's are there like some fun stories or events that like, you know, to the casual, someone who's just turning on, for me, CBC, in the evening, what should I be like looking out for at these Olympics?
Oh gosh.
That's a big question. I know.
Yeah. That's like asking someone like,
what is the thing you're most excited about?
What are the good MCU films? Right.
Yeah.
Like, sure. There's some ones that are better than others, but, they're all good. Okay. I'll give you like my pro tips or my like, watching the Olympics as a casual. Maybe that's what, and I'm making this up on the fly, but maybe Puya, we could find like the Olympic sport that you're like most destined to watch. That's the best fit for you. I think obviously like the sports in the Olympics, the disciplines fall into like a few different buckets. You're either skating on ice, you're sledding down ice, or you're skiing and doing maybe something else with skiing or snowboarding. And then curling is just this other thing out on the periphery that just doesn't fit into the other buckets. And I think that's part of why we love it. So I guess I'll start with curling. Like you will always find curling on because there are tournaments, a men's tournament, a women's tournament, and a mixed doubles tournament that's just about to wrap up. And it seems like the sport like you could do, right? Like you could have a few beers, It is really difficult to be an elite Olympic curler, but it's not biologically impossible in the same way that like being a sprinter is for a lot of us.
Oh yeah. Have you curled before?
I've never curled. Yeah. Oh, fun.
It's hard. I went after the US won the gold medal in 2018. I went and learned how to curl at my local rink in what was then San Jose. It's the practice ice for the San Jose Sharks, which I guess I should have mentioned are my hockey team.
Right.
But it's not easy. It is a really challenging balance and learning how to like walk on ice. And then the sweeping and tactics piece of it is just a whole other level.
Here's the thing. I think people have the most confusion about curling. And I was on a work call today with somebody who's from Canada. So it's not like every Canadian knows curling. And they were like, I would watch it, but I just don't understand what they're actually trying to do. They're like throwing rocks and they're sweeping them. Like, I don't understand. And so I know I curled a lot as a kid, but Troy, what's like the basic, like the premise, the most simplest version of like, this is what they're trying to do in curling, basically.
Okay. So the easy explanation is to say, it's like shuffleboard on ice. Yeah. It's not really, but the simple version, it's like a little bit more like horseshoes where you count the most stones at the end of what's called an end. Once you throw all the stones in a round, you count how many you have closest to the center before your competitor's closest stone. So it's very tactical in the way that you're trying to set things up to block out shots for your opponent or to maximize your potential scoring chance. So, you know, you're basically going to see a few like hits or a few types of throws in curling. One's a takeout where you're just trying to get rid of other people's stones. But toward the end of play, you'll start to see what are called draws, where they're just trying to get it to stop at a very specific, precise place all the way on the other end of the ice. And they will sweep in order to have it go faster or have it go straighter. Otherwise, it's just going to curl in toward the center of the ice. And so the basic gist is tactically get closest to the pin and score a bunch of points.
Yeah. If you have the most, basically like if you have one of your rocks closest and then the other team has the next closest, you score 1 point. But if your rock is closest and then another one of your rocks is the second closest, and then there's an opposing team score, then you get 2 points. You're just trying to get the most amount as close to the center or what's called the button as possible. And who are like, I mean, obviously Canada, big surprises are getting here. We're going to, you know, this pod is going to be become outdated even as we drop it, because there'll be events happening and things. But Canada was eliminated from the mixed double. Mixed doubles is a new sport. It was introduced in 2018 for the first time. Canada did win gold there, but Canada is out of the mixed doubles. But, you know, between sort of the mixed doubles, the men's, the women's games, who are some of like the favorites who could?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Canada is a favorite anytime they're in curling. But the introduction of mixed doubles, where there's one woman and one man who compete, it really creates a lot more parity, a lot more even playing field. And so actually the top team in the tournament has been Italy. They've been undefeated and they're in the gold medal match against Norway. And the bronze medal game is against is between Sweden and Great Britain. So Italy has been the star of the mixed doubles, which is fascinating.
Yeah, Italy.
Yeah. And that's actually how Canada got eliminated. It came down to a very last shot between Canada and Italy. And they literally, Canada missed by like a millimeter. They were just out by a millimeter. And that would have gotten them into the playoffs. On the like men's and women's team side, I think you're going to see Sweden is consistently a pretty good team on both the men's and women's side. The United States is the defending gold medal champion in John the men's
side. John Schuster's back, right? With his team. He's, the one thing, typically the teams are named after the skip, who is the team member who mostly calls the shots. Like, because currently it's a small team, so it's pretty collaborative, but basically the skip sort of decides, okay, this is what I want you to shoot. I want you to take out this rock. I want you to draw one in close. I want you to put up a guard, whatever. And then the skip also shoots the last two rocks for their teams in a classic like men's or women's game where they have four
typically,
players.
But, typically, Yeah. I mean, John Schuster's had this like wild up and down, and I won't regale y'all because we don't have time to do the whole. They've literally made a documentary about like the rise and fall and re-rise of John Schuster. But he's struggled so much in the past that like they even took away, they benched him during the Olympics, in a prior Olympics. So for him to come back and his crew to win a gold medal 4 years ago, and then to qualify again against all odds, really. I mean, this was again an uphill battle for them to be the USA team. It's not like hockey where you draft your team based on the best stars from your country. It really is, you know, these are the four guys or these are the four women who practice in and out all year. And then they compete against the other teams to wear the flag at the Olympics.
Yeah.
USA, definitely a strong team. Canada always sends a strong team. Most of the teams are pretty strong on the men's side. On the women's side, Korea was a surprise silver medalist last at the Pyeongchang Olympics.
Yep.
They've continued to be quite good.
Sweden is the defending champion. South Korea was in second. Japan came in third. Great Britain was fourth last time. So yeah.
Who knows? Canada's sending a different squad on the women's side this time. They struggled in 2018. If I were to put money on something, I think I'd go Canada on the women's side.
How does the team that represents the country get decided?
So usually each country has some sort of like Olympic trials or national qualification. And for Canada, that is hotly contested. Mm-hmm. You basically, it's kind of like the Brier. I don't know if you've ever followed it, which is like the national championship for curling in Canada on the men's side, or the Scotties is the women's side. But basically they just, you know, you qualify your team based on doing well enough at regional levels. And then all of the best teams in Canada get together one weekend and you got to win.
So there's this really interesting thing, Puya, I think, in the Scotties tournament. I love the thing I like didn't understand as a kid, but I would watch, is a lot of these like the tournaments that decide like who gets to represent teams at the Olympics. There's always this thing where like somebody is currently Team Canada. So but everything else is pretty much you represent a province or a territory. So in like the Scotty Tournament of Hearts, every province is represented. Plus there's a Team Canada who are like the current Team Canada. And then there are like typically three wild cards. I think this year there was a team from East St. Paul. There was a team from Regina and a team from Ottawa who are also in the mix. Yeah, and kind of at some point, whoever wins the tournament and goes on to become Team Canada is also Team Canada in these like other tournaments around throughout the year, which is like kind of fun. Yeah.
Cool. It's also a fascinating thing because each event within the Olympics more broadly has a quota for a number of athletes or a number of teams. And that's decided on by the governing body of that sport. So like FIS handles it for all skiing related things. And the International Hockey Federation handles it for hockey. And they determine like what standard you have to meet to qualify from a country. But who actually gets to go for that country is decided on by your national body. So you see some things like happened in the US, the mixed doubles curling, the spot into Beijing was earned by a team, but they still then had to go to national trials to be the team. You see that in figure skating as well, where it's happened before where like the ice dance or the pairs team that does well enough at world championships to guarantee an extra spot for Canada or the USA then doesn't qualify to fill that spot in the Olympics. So the internal kind of machinations of how you get to represent your country and how many spots there are wild, and also for me just as fascinating to follow as the ultimate sport.
Right.
And I think we've seen this year another like kind of wrinkle to it all is with the Olympics being in Beijing, China gets a guaranteed spot in every event.
Right.
And so they have invested a lot of money into sports that they previously haven't before. And you're also seeing a few instances of people who, in particular, I can think of a couple examples who were born in the United States, but have Chinese citizenship, who are now competing for China. And that's not unheard of, but it's a little bit more common this go round. And there's a couple of examples of that, both on the good side and the bad side, where athletes who were born or grew up in the US are now competing for China and either being beloved, like Eileen Gu, who's a big air half pipe slope style freestyle skier. And on the flip side, Xu, who is one of the women's figure skaters, is being roasted on social media because she didn't perform well in the first event. So it does cut both ways when you start to, you know, represent a country. People can love you and people can hate you, and it's really tough.
I knew that there was some of that happening in ice hockey, you know, on the women's ice hockey team, the Chinese team. They have some Canadian players who have dual citizenship. So people playing, which makes sense. I think it's always cool. There's a, in the World Baseball Classic, there's a lot of that where like people will play for other countries or they have like dual citizenship. I always think it's like fun. It's interesting. All right. Yeah.
Speaking of hockey though, I mean, if I could transition off of curling.
Yeah.
I think the other big thing you definitely want to watch is ice hockey. I think in particular, the women's tournament, the grudge match between USA and Canada.
I believe they're playing their round robin game tonight I think at some point, which is basically most likely a preview for the gold medal game. But I'm not going to like for sure say that. But I think between the two, I know that the USA won a game 11-1 the other day. Canada's played two games so far and has scored 22 goals. So they're kind of favorites, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. On the women's side, I think those two teams are the class of the field. There's a really interesting storyline that just happened yesterday around COVID. So we haven't really talked about COVID that much, but you know, this is happening 6 months after the Tokyo Olympics. But the big difference between the Tokyo Summer Olympics and this one is Omicron and the huge resurgence of infection and asymptomatic infection. And we've seen a lot of athletes who have tested positive for COVID. I just found out before we started recording that Vincent Zhao, an American figure skater, who was an outside medals contender, tested positive and isn't going to be able to compete in the individual event. Mm-hmm. That came to bear with Canada's hockey game last night against ROC, against the Russian Olympic Committee, where I guess Russia's test results did not come back quickly enough. And so Canada wouldn't take the ice. And the game got delayed for over an hour until they eventually came up with a compromise where both teams took the ice and played in N95 masks.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Olympic level hockey wearing 95 masks.
Wow.
It was fascinating. It was interesting. It's interesting. I guess the deal was that Canada said we don't feel comfortable competing without the results of the tests coming back. And Russia said, well, we can't do anything about it. They said, well, can you wear masks? And Russia said, we will wear masks if you wear masks. Seemed fair. And so they took the ice and played the game.
I know that there's controversy over, not controversy. I mean, I think it ultimately is the right choice. The NHL decided that for the men's tournament, they were not sending NHL players to the Olympics. So that has kind of drastically affected, you know, the teams that some of, you know, specifically Canada, the United States, well, as long as other countries who have many athletes sort of have changed the dynamic of their teams. I know that obviously like NHL players, you know, if you're the best athlete in the world at your sport, to go and represent your country is a pretty cool thing. I always kind of love that it's like not the NHL players, and I kind of love when, like, you know, I think I saw like Dion Phaneuf, I think, is on the Canadian team because he's not currently on a team, and so he's like, yeah, I'll go play at the Olympics. I always think that's kind of fun. I don't know, Puya, I don't know if you, you know, would you be more interested in watching the Olympic ice hockey if, you know, at least on the men's side, if it was these NHL players, or whether it's kind of more fun that like it's whoever else is available.
Yeah, well, it's complicated because I feel like, you know, in equating it to soccer, I know that obviously the World Cup happens at a time where no other club sports are happening. No other club games are going on. Whereas these continental ones like the African Cup of Nations, Asian Cup of Nations, they happen during the season and there are international breaks put aside for them. But then some of them just don't get scheduled around then or get scheduled later, especially right now. We're in this position where, you know, you've got your World Cup qualifiers and these Cup of Nations stuff going on. I think they should be able to play, right? Because ultimately, these are people from your countries who are playing the game at the highest possible level. And they should be allowed to represent that country when they can, because I don't know. To me, that should come first, especially because there's not many opportunities for that. Whereas the club level or the NHL, like that will happen every year regardless. And it is a deeper roster with hockey, right? So I feel like, you know, you can bring someone in from your third line over to the first line for a couple of games, maybe, but, you know, I guess it might depend on the team as well. And if they're doing well, should they be able to enforce them to stay? Or if they're doing poor, should they be enforced to stay because they need them? I don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting that it's all at the same time. I know that like a few years ago, it was like, you know, you put it right around the All-Star break. You know, the Olympics are 2 weeks of the year. You know, I know that these teams, they're going to talk about like capitalism. They're like have investments in these players. And certainly I can understand this year, certainly it being like, you know, it is COVID. There's COVID. It's a risk to send your players to go play. But yeah, there also is something really fun about like, yes, yeah, they're the best players in the world. Let them go, you know, play. It's once every 4 years, you know, like Trey, how many, I think we were talking in the Puerto Rico Discord one day about like, there's some athletes who are like going to be in their fifth Olympics, which is like, that's a lot. That's a lot of Olympics for one athlete because of how the time in between each Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So John Schuster, as mentioned before, the skip of the U.S. men's curling team, fifth Olympics, Lindsay Jacobalis, who is a snowboarder, famed for doing a method air where she had a gold medal locked up and then face planting and having to settle for a silver medal in a race. And there was another, I think one of the skeleton racers is a fifth time Olympian for the U.S. Yeah. I mean, these people, you talked about this a little bit when you talk about tennis, but athletes are staying in peak shape later and later in their lives. The quality of advancement in sports performance and sports medicine is absolutely remarkable. Tom Brady just retired, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, that was great. He retired immediately after we finished recording last week. So that was great. That was a great time. Right, so, Tom, you couldn't let us know? Give me the scoop, Tom.
Yeah, you got to get in. You got to get, you know, your Woj announcements. Yeah. You give your inside scoops for the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you're seeing these Olympians who are staying in peak performance and qualifying for fourth and fifth Olympics. It's wild. You know, something like curling or in the summer side, something like sailing where it doesn't take as huge of a toll in your body or equestrian. You've seen Olympic equestrians all the way up to their 70s.
Yeah. What horse has had the most Olympics?
That's a great question. Don't get me talking about horses and Olympics because we do not have time for that.
When are we what's happening get, with when the modern get a horse pentathlon on skates?
Is a travesty.
When are we going to get horses on skates? That's fine.
Oh boy, never. But
yeah, never.
I will say this is that brings up a good maybe transition, which is new sports. I'm always on like the hunt for like the hot new sport. And in the Summer Olympics, we got surfing, we got skateboarding, we got karate. Look forward in a future Summer Olympics to breakdancing as an Olympic sport.
That is coming, right? Like for real.
It's coming.
Right? Yeah, it is real coming.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah, very it sounds cool. Like a joke, but it's for real coming. That's amazing. I love it.
In the Winter Olympics, not as much on the new stuff. We don't have any new disciplines necessarily, any new big sports, but we definitely have some new events. I think the most interesting of them is the women's monobob, which is bobsled or bobsleigh.
Singular which is bobsled.
One yep, that's yeah. it. Just you and your lonesome going down the track. And I think the thing a lot of people don't know about bobsleigh is that really it all just comes down to the pilot. It all comes down to the person steering. Like you just get three more people behind you who are track stars and can push.
That's not what cool runnings, Tommy. It's a whole team effort, Troy.
You need a lucky egg. You need someone who's funny. Like you need this whole formula.
Didn't Jamaica make it?
They did. Yeah. They did. Yeah. So four-man bobsled, definitely, I would say that's a can't miss, at least to like relive your cool running streams.
Yeah. So is Bob Mono Bob like the luge, but with the bobsled itself instead of the, what do you call it? It's like the little sled for the luge? What do you call it?
Yeah, the luge. It's actually called the luge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is, you know, the Olympics has this interesting thing with gender parity, where, again, sports are just sports, but things also matter. And the IOC has been called to task for the fact that more medals are given out. There are events that are not open to women. I think right now it's like 55%. They've gotten it down to 55% of athletes are male compared to 45% female. And I know at least one non-binary athlete. They're trying to introduce new sports that will like help with that, or new events. But like, this is just an example. The monobob is only a women's event. One female pushing and riding the sled down by her lonesome. The other women's event is the two-person bobsled. Whereas on the men's side, they don't have the monobob. They have the two-person and the four-man. So it's like this weird, like, it's balance, but it's not equal.
What about this? I found out about the sport through the New York Times mini crossword. There's a new event called Big Air. What's Big Air, Troy?
Okay. Big Air, I watched the qualifying for that last night. They're actually holding the event near a power plant. So it sets up these amazing images, which, depending on your perspective, is either like awful, like why are they hosting this near what might be a nuclear power plant with like cooling towers behind them, or in my opinion, like fascinating, right? If someone like flipping and doing all kinds of twists in front of a cooling tower with the Olympic logo on it. Big Air is really simple. You go down a really steep slope, you go up a really steep slope, and while you're in the air, you do cool tricks twisting your body and grabbing your board, and then you hopefully land and don't die. One big jump, that's it. That's Big Air.
Oh, because in previous, it's like there is stuff like this, but it's been multiple like tricks you do.
Like the free, you know, this is where the Olympics have started getting into the X Games of it all, right? They need to appeal to like a younger demographic. So it's like, let's find the sports that the young people want to do. And so that's where they've introduced this like slope style, which is like go down and like do cool tricks on like rails and jumps. Which is like just judged on creativity and execution. They have the a half pipe, which like Shaun White is most known for. You just go back down, you know, up and down and up and down a half pipe that kind of heads down into the valley. And then Big Air is like this one big jump. It's kind of similar to, there's a longstanding event called Aerials, where it is one big jump, but it's different. I don't know.
Aerials was on the pod a few weeks ago. He talked about tennis.
They're very similar events, but one falls under the kind of like X Games, like, you know, do a whole bunch of twists and flips, and it's the same people who are competing in like the slope style,
right?
And then the other is like traditional. I don't get it. I'll be honest, I don't get it.
Okay, all right. Well, what I'm seeing, a lot of athletes think it's good because, like, rather than it needing to be like in mountains where you need like a, you know, full slope, you could just set up a big ramp. So, you know, says it looks like it's it was done at Fenway Park. There was like a Big Air event. I don't know. This seems
cool. It's got all that kind of like Red Bull energy to it.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So yeah, men's and women's big air skiing, that was added this year. They've also added a couple of mixed team events. So the Olympics have gotten really big in the like gender mix teams. So they have a mixed team relay in short track speed skating, a mixed team ski jump that I think is happening right now, and a mixed team snowboard cross, and then mixed team aerials, which was the thing kind of similar to Big Air.
All right. I think we have time to go like one more, you know, where should we go sort of to kick things off? Either something you're excited about, something you think people are listening might be excited about if they're not, watching as much as you seem to be.
Okay. I'm going to rapid fire then if we have time for what my one more would be. People will always talk about the alpine skiing of it all and the like downhill, the Michaela Schifrin and that kind of stuff. That's cool. That's classic, whatever. That's last year's news. No, this year you want to do like cross country skiing. Like you want to watch the cross country skiing and the biathlon. So cross-country skiing, like most of it's pretty boring for most people, but the event I would absolutely tell you to find is the sprint, the cross-country skiing sprint, where it's like a series of heats and they go as quickly as possible. These are athletes who like, you know, run marathons, and it's like, oh, here, you have 5 minutes to pass people in a very tight track. Cross-country skiing sprints, it's one of the greatest gold medal chances for the U.S. on the women's side. Big fan of that.
Also, I have a big question, Troy. I was watching some cross-country. I was watching, I think it was the 30-kilometer scathlon today. Uh-huh. And it was like, what's great about this event is that the first half is like traditional, and then the second half is like freestyle. And I was like, I didn't know there were multiple ways to cross-country ski. Like, I can cross-country ski poorly. I didn't know that there's like multiple ways to do it. Can you explain that? What is it when they're like, there's two different ways in which can you just like, you're not allowed to ski. You have to, everybody has to ski in a certain way in the first half of this one race.
Yep. Yeah. So it's similar to swimming in that, like, yeah, we all know the fastest way to swim is freestyle, right? Is the crawl. Okay.
Yeah.
And similarly, the fastest way to cross country ski is the skate style, where your skis are kind of in a V pattern, uh-huh, and you're pushing off. But there's a lot of people who like the tradition of the Nordic track style, where it's, you know, the classic, your skis are going one in front of, like, you know, they're pushing, right, one in front of the other.
Right.
And so they have established that, like, some of the events are Nordic traditional cross country, and some of them are free skate. What's wild is it alternates every year. So whereas in the last Olympics, the sprint races were the skate style, this Olympics, they're going to be the classic style. So there's rules about, like, basically what form you have to use in order for it to be fair. And it creates some advantage for some teams and disadvantage for others.
I just understood they were like, the first half, you have to ski this way. And then the second half, you can ski however you want.
Like, okay, no, it even goes deeper than that. Like, that's that one event. But, like,
in cross-country
skiing, it's like, yeah, that's the skiathlon.
Yeah. Okay.
But in cross-country skiing, no, it's like, for this year, everyone who's doing this particular type of event has to do classic. And the next year, you all can do free skate.
But next year or every Olympics?
It's both. It's like every year, alternates every year on the World Cup circuit and every year at the Olympics. And they align it to where, you know, it's not.
This is what we're saying, though. If you're wild, like an athlete who, like, only, like, if your prime of your career is only like one time in your life and you get the rough, you're like, I'm only good at freestyle.
Yes. Like, one of the most iconic moments for last Olympics was Jesse Diggins and Keegan Randall for the USA winning the first ever gold medal for the women's cross country skiing for the US. The only reason they did that is because it was a freestyle that wow, year. Okay. You run that event this year as a classic, they will not win. So you actually have, like, you know, you could have the LeBron of your generation at this particular format who, like, if she or he comes along or they come along and it's like a different format the year where they're at their peak, tough cookies.
Oh yeah. What if you're the LeBron James of cross country skiing? You don't know it. You just haven't tried it yet.
I mean, that would be nice. That would be good, that's right? A great accolade.
I don't know if there's big money in cross-country skiing.
No, there's no like big money moves, commercials, endorsements. It's just,
what if you made it big though? What if you made it big? What if you, like, you were, yeah, you're the LeBron James.
What if I put it on the map?
Yeah, you're like on the Shreddies box. Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, I'll take that. It's a good life.
Troy, you have a game for us, but I do think we should quickly, because what I like to do is make people say things on the pod that will be wrong in a few weeks. So at the end of the Olympics, who has the most medals? I think we should draft who, so we can't pick the same team. I think, Puya, you should pick first. Who's going to have the most medals at the end of the
most game? Like either bronze, silver, gold.
Yeah, any medal. Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah. You want the current standings?
I'm gonna go with Canada. I'm gonna back Canada.
Okay.
Okay.
Troy, what do you think? Actually, you're the expert.
I feel like I should go last because you should get the advantage because I'm deep into it.
Well, the Russian Olympic Committee is, I think they're in the lead currently, but let me strike out of the box. I'll go with Sweden. Sweden can get the most medals this year.
Yeah. Sweden's a good pick. I have to go with Norway. Norway has traditionally won a boatload of medals and there's a ton of events. I'm going to use this opportunity to plug biathlon, which is my favorite discipline, cross-country skiing and precision shooting. If you have more questions about it, ask me in Discord or wherever, because I will talk about it endlessly. Me and Akiva Winokur, big biathlon fans.
And Tom Fratz, I see, is a big biathlon fan, is he not? I
feel like but Norway's gonna rake in some medals for sure.
They currently have four. Russian Olympic Committee has seven. Sweden has three. Canada has six. So
yeah.
All right, Troy, you have a game for us.
I do have a game for you. It is inspired a little bit by the Big Fat Quiz of the Year, one of my favorite British traditions around the holidays. This is going to be the Big Fat Olympic Quiz.
I love it.
Where I have a few questions for you. Grace and Puya, you all are going to work together.
Yes.
This is going to be a mixed team event, just like the Olympic gloves.
That's right.
Lovely.
And you're going to try and sort out the answers to these questions.
Okay.
Pretty simple. It's going to be a mix of like true, false, multiple choice. Here we go. Question number one. What are the colors of the Olympic rings in order?
Troy taught me this the other day. He taught me the acronym, but I can't remember what the acronym is. But it's something like, and the one thing I remember from the acronym is the middle word is no, because the K stands for black on printers or something. So it's like, is it blue, yellow, black, green, red? Is it green? Puya, is green in there?
Yeah, green. I think green is in there. Yeah. So you're saying, so is it
before you know, this is Troy taught me an acronym the other day to remember the names. Before you know, I could just make it up now.
Acronyms don't work if you just make them up, Grace.
Before you know, go read. That would be blue, yellow, black, green, red. And I think those are
Is that your final answer?
What order are they? So when you're saying blue, yellow, black, green, yellow.
The way Troy taught me the acronym is that you could also remember the order. And it is, it is like blue. Yeah. It's maybe not before, but it's something, you know,
but is the order up, down, like one down, like one.
Yeah.
Up,
yeah.
One
I'll down, say in connectedness because each one's connected
as most left to right as you could get. Right.
Okay.
I think,
I'll back you on it. I wouldn't know better.
Blue, yellow, black, green, red.
That is correct. Well done.
Had a good teacher.
The mnemonic to remember for those is bet you know great rings.
Right.
I bet you know great rings. And with the K being black, because you can't have two blue, you know, you can't have two B's in there. That's confusing.
What is the black? Why is it K? Someone explain this to me.
Just because it's a unique letter in there, but also the K stands for key on a printer. That's why you have like CMYK in printing. Yeah, because that's usually black. But that's my mnemonic. Bet you know great rings. Even as a huge Olympics fan, I've been to the Olympics Museum in Lausanne, Switzerland, and I could never remember the ring colors until I came up with something.
So, very good. Bet you know great rings.
There you go. Okay, point. 1 point for you all. A medal is on the line. I should have said this.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Next question. Following World War I, starting in 1920, releasing doves as a symbol of peace became a regular part of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics until it stopped after 1988. Why did it stop?
The doves finally died, right, Puya?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Did they live that long? 60 years? 60-year-old doves? why would they end it in 1988? Did something happen in 1988? I don't know. Do you have any idea? I have no idea.
No, I genuinely am clueless. Like, we are going to lose a point on this one.
Why would they stop releasing doves? That's around the time of like the Berlin Wall falling. Does that have any? I don't know. Why did they stop
releasing housing doves? Was an expense that they didn't want to have.
Yeah, just was it PETA? Was like can't have.
Ooh, that's a good. Let's go with that. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, PETA complaint.
Okay, final answer is PETA. I am going to give you a half point.
Oh,
because it does have to do with animal safety.
Oh no.
And the answer is that the doves died. You were correct. In the 1988 Olympics at Seoul, the doves were released and then perched on the Olympic cauldron.
No way! They died. They lit on fire?
They got roasted.
Oh.
So bad I shouldn't laugh.
Oh my God.
So they had to find ways to incorporate the symbol of doves in like various ways. They've had like paper doves and like projections of a dove, but no more live doves.
You know why I've never heard that story? Immediately the Olympics organizers like look to each other and they're like, nobody can ever know of this.
Well, it's on the Wikipedia page, so you can look it up, folks. There wow. you go.
Incredible.
Now you okay. know when doves cry.
So we were right. The doves die. The doves, just the not doves that they were die. The same doves from 19.
That's right. Okay, here's a shorter one. True or false, Beijing is the first city to host both the Summer and Winter Olympics.
The Ooh. First ever. I mean, I'm just thinking of the ones that have hosted the events while I've been around.
Yeah, the first Olympics I remember is Sydney, and then Salt Lake City. Neither of those would have posted.
No, there's not been a summer one in Vancouver. You know, I think this makes sense. Beijing makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's anything else, you know, it predates us. So we'll deal with it.
Okay. All right. We'll say true.
Yeah. So your answer is true. Yeah. That is correct.
Wow.
You get another point. You're one step closer to your gold medal here.
When did the Winter Olympics start? I was gonna guess that
they
have both in Athens.
No, they did not both start in Athens. The first Olympics, modern Olympics, was 1896 at Athens, but the first Winter Olympics didn't start until Chamonix, which I think is like 1924.
Okay.
Oh boy. 1924 was Chamonix,
okay,
in France. So they were a late addition. There were some, gosh, I seem to remember, I think there were some winter events that were held before they split off. And right. until the mid-90s, the Winter and Summer Olympics were held in the same year. And then they realized that's probably a bad idea. That's probably just too many eggs in one basket.
I do feel like this year people are like, didn't we just have the Olympics? There's a little bit of that.
This oh, year. For sure. But that's only because Tokyo got, you know, moved a year.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of COVID. But yeah, there you go. Beijing, first to host.
Interesting.
There's been little things where like they've had events in cities where it's like, you know, the soccer tournament is played in like seven different cities and not the host city.
Right.
But first time. Okay. This is a good one. Here we go. I'm going to give you four names of possible Winter Olympians and what they're competing in. You are going to tell me which is not true, which is a made up name.
Okay.
Number one, Shinky Knecht, a Dutch speed skater.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Babatunde Oshinowo, a Nigerian cross country skier. Number three, Fanny Smith, a Swiss freestyle skier. Or number four, Hammy McMillan Jr., a British curler.
Hammy McMillan. I got to take the first two off the board because I don't think Troy would make those up. I think it's got to be Fanny or Hammy McMillan. Right? I think if Troy comes on here and he's like, Babatunde, and they're like, I made that one up. I don't think he's making those ones up. Sorry,
right.
What is the first one? Shinky
Knecht.
Knecht.
Dutch speed skater.
Oh, maybe the Dutch. And then Babatunde
Oshinowo.
Fanny Smith and Hammy. The third, did you say? Wait, what did you say?
It was a Shinky, Babatunde, Fanny, or Hammy.
What's Hammy's full name?
Hammy is Hammy McMillan Jr., a Junior. British curler.
Hammy's child is Hammy the third. What do you think? I don't know. I don't think Babatunde. I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like no. I think we take the second option off the board here.
Isn't Babatunde? There's a wrestler. Isn't there a wrestler named Babatunde? I think there is. Anyway, Shinky Knecht, Fanny Smith, or Hammy McMillan Jr. I don't think Troy goes. I'm really overthinking him. I don't think he makes a junior.
That would be next level. Is there okay? Have I ever heard of anyone have the junior as part of their Olympic name?
I'm sure there are juniors. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Fanny Smith is where I'm leaning, but it also feels too generic. You know, like for Troy to make up Fannie Smith is maybe
what was Fannie Smith's sport?
Fannie Smith is a Swiss freestyle skier.
I don't know.
What if,
really
what
got
if, I feel we eliminated the only option off the board immediately because we're like, Troy wouldn't do this.
True, true. You know what? I feel the best about being like, Cammy McMillan is a fake name. And if we're wrong, I feel the best about that.
Okay, let's go with it. You lead the way for this
one. Okay, Hammy McMillan Jr. is fake.
Hammy McMillan Jr. is the fake name of the four you say. That is incorrect. Hammy is, in fact, on the British curling team. He might be Scottish. That tends to be a thing. A lot of the, but I haven't looked this up. Fannie Smith, also actually a Swiss freestyle skier. Shinky Connect is a silver medalist.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Grace!
I did throw you off with the Babatunde of it all. So Babatunde Oshinowo was a football player on Stanford's football team. So it is a real name. He's a real guy. He's a great guy. He was not a Nigerian cross-country skier. That said.
Wait, what was Babatunde? He was what?
He was a football player on my college football
team. He's now a wrestler in the WWE. Is that? Yeah. That's the exact
same guy?
Yes, it's the same guy. It's the same guy.
What?
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah, he like played professionally. He played in the NFL and everything.
He's
like
a Polish Nigerian professional wrestler and former football player. Yeah, he manages Apollo Crews. That's so annoying.
Okay, no, I think this got to be a different person. This is a different person. My guy played in the NFL. I don't think he's a wrestler.
Yes, he played on the Minnesota Vikings. This guy.
This is wild. Okay, anyway. This neither Babatunde, if there are in fact two, is a Nigerian cross-country skier. But Nigeria does have a cross-country skier on their team. So they're one athlete is cross country skier, so there's some fact and truth in that. Okay. This is a different Babatunde. I'm looking at the Wikipedia article.
All right,
Babatunde Oshinowo, former NFL player. Here we go. I'll ask maybe one more question.
Okay.
I think this is it. Yeah, this is a good one. We talked about the sport of luge, wherein a madman or a madwoman gets on a sled and goes down an ice track.
Yeah, Don Draper or, yeah.
Yeah, like Peggy Wilson. Brakes, no brakes. Here's my question. Where does the name of the sport luge come from? Is it A, from the onomatopoeic sound it makes as the sled goes down the track?
Mm-hmm.
B, it is a Swiss word used for a small sled. C, it is named after Philippe, the Viscount de Luge, a French noble member in the 19th century who was an early proprietor of the sport.
Yeah.
Or D, it was won in a naming contest at the San Moritz Spa Resort.
I was pretty sure Jim Carrey invented it. He was like, you are a luge.
So bad.
It's a really bad joke.
So bad.
That is a 90s Jim Carrey reference on the sports wrap of this.
There we go. Lisa's out.
Well, unless you were planting a lie early to catch us with this question. Now, isn't it B? Isn't it just the name of the sled is luge?
Oh, he said it. Well, no, yeah. he said that the thing that they go down is a luge. So yeah, that makes sense. So
it's right? Because like that's called a luge, and then that's why this event's called a luge.
I think that makes sense. Troy gave us the answer.
Because what came first, the sport or the equipment? You know, and I feel like the equipment would have had to come first.
Yeah,
well, that makes sense. That's the question, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Troy is giving us a game of Big Fat Quiz of the Year, which is hosted by Jimmy Carr, who also hosts a new show called I Literally Just Told You. So perhaps Troy literally just told
us. Crossover right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that your final answer? Is the Swiss term for a small sled?
Yeah.
That is correct. Well done. Nice. Well remembered. Well intuited. yes, I don't think it makes the sound of luge going down. And as much as I would love for the Viscount Deluge to be a thing, sadly, Philippe, I just made him up.
Troy, we play a lot of D&D together. I feel like Philippe Deluge making an appearance at some point is certainly a possibility.
For sure. Yeah, so I would consider this. I would consider this a silver medal performance. Okay. Not quite a gold. We didn't get all the questions right.
Curse you, Baba Tunde.
Yeah, Baba Tunde. But I would say, well done earning your silver medal and learning a few things about the Olympics.
Okay, amazing. When are we going to do the podcast Olympics? This sounds fun. We'll host that at some point.
Oh God, what would the events be? I mean, that's really the question.
Good ad read. Yeah, I don't know. We could come up with stuff. Send in your suggestions. All right, that's our Olympics coverage. Thanks so much, Troy. That was great.
Of course. If you are ever looking for more people to talk to about the Olympics or get more in depth about random sports we didn't even get to talk about, like skeleton or ski jumping and all of that, just find me and chat me up.
Troy, are you, doing an Olympics podcast?
I'm not. I don't think I thought about it.
Yeah, no problem.
It's a big pull. You know, here's my take. I did one 4 years ago during Pyeongchang. And what really throws me off is the time difference.
Yeah.
It's like everything being in East Asia for the last couple of Olympics, it's been like, is it today or is it tomorrow? And I can't keep track of the days anymore. But, you know, maybe by 2024, when we get to Paris, France for the next Summer Olympics, that might be a reasonable time for me to pick back up the podcast.
Okay. Amazing. That's our Olympics covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to switch to, I don't know, Puya, is it blasphemous for me to say soccer on this podcast? So I'd be saying football. That's appropriate, right?
I mean, the thing is, I would say that, but also I know it'll make everything confusing, especially when we're a week away from the Super Bowl. So I'm okay with us calling it soccer.
All right, we're going to talk about soccer. A few things I wanted to touch on. Yesterday, as we're airing this on Sunday, February 6th, it was the Africa Cup of Nations, the final. Senegal beat Egypt. It was a 0-0 game heading into penalties, and Senegal pulled out the victory 4-2. Very fun game. I thought there was like, this is a thing of, I think some people when we're like talking about soccer or, you know, football, they're like, yeah, it's really exciting. It was a 0-0 game. And then it went down to penalties, but it was really exciting. There was like lots of fun chances. Personally, I'm a Liverpool fan. Each of the teams had a Liverpool star, Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah on each team. And Mane scored that winning penalty kick. Interestingly, he had got a penalty earlier in the game. Senegal did, and he missed. Salah had went and like he likes to go this way, and so it was blocked earlier in the game, so he makes up for it with the game-winning goal. But I thought really fun game.
What's interesting about that is obviously you mentioned they're teammates on opposing teams here. But also the Egypt decided to do something that some teams do, which I disagree with, and they put their best player, Mo Salah, they put him as the last penalty kick kicker, which is fine. if you get to do all five penalties, because there gets to a point where if you're mathematically eliminated, you're mathematically eliminated. So he didn't even get a chance to shoot it because
I couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe that I didn't get to watch Mo Salah take a penalty. He's the penalty kicker for Liverpool, and he didn't even get to take a shot.
Yep, they decided not to do that. Instead, giving a couple people ahead of him the spot, and hey, two of them missed, and that's what caused the loss here.
Yeah. Interestingly, like Senegal and Egypt are the two teams that lost like the last two finals in 2019. Algeria beat Senegal 1-0 in the finals in 2017. Cameroon beat Egypt. So kind of fun here to like those two teams who had both lost previous finals get to match up against each other. And Senegal pulls out the win.
Yeah. Can I interject here as like a total soccer football casual and just say like you've made a like reasonable case for how a 0-0 game can be exciting.
Yeah.
But like can you just like maybe for the like listener who's like not convinced yet, like what is it about a low scoring game that can still be exciting? How is that fun? Like help me wrap my head around it.
Okay. So there's
I'm not yucking a yum. I'm learning.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple ways this goes. Okay. Firstly, any sport, you know, whether it be basketball or American football, there are a lot of timeouts and a lot of commercials and a lot of breaks, which drag the game on.
100%.
Football is 2 45-minute halves with a 15-minute halftime in between. Every now and then, there's like 2-3 minutes added for extra time if there's been an injury or something happening in the game. So you're pretty much getting nonstop game all the way through. If it's two strong game teams, there is often a lot of attack, a lot of counterattack, and the pace of the game will be relatively quick. So even if there's not a big scoreline, there is a lot of close moments. And because the game is nil-nil, you're looking at it and you might see, well, like nothing happened. No, the game is literally neck and neck. It's literally close. It's like a 78-78 in basketball or a, you know, 17-17 in football going into an overtime situation. It's a nail biter, regardless of what the scoreline may say. 0-0 doesn't look appealing, but it's literally as close as it can get, especially if the game is exciting. Now, I'm not saying all games like that are fun. No, there have been 0-0 games that are just painful to watch and are not great. But when it's two good teams, you can get a good game out of it.
I think especially with like something on the line, like there are like, I was saying earlier, we'll talk about like the Premier League of it all. I love waking up in the morning, like on a weekend and like watching a game that's like starts just because of the time change, like 11 o'clock. But like, if it's like a game where like, the two teams like aren't super invested in winning, and then you're getting like a 0-0 draw. That's like, that is not as fun as, whereas this is like, this is it. This is the game. If you win the Africa Cup of Nations. And so, you know, a 0-0 tie doesn't, you know, it's not like right off the bat, it feels right. There's like, you know, a typical game, you know, there might be, you know, 1-0 at the half, or might be 2-1 or something, you know? So it's not like that different. And then the second half just feels so tense because if they have been playing 0-0 soccer and then one team is going to be able to score a goal and you like watch these moments where like Senegal had so many chances that it looked like they should have just been able to like put it away and just like the cross or, you know, the player is just like just a little bit out of position. It's like, it's so like tense in these moments where like, yeah, getting one goal in the net and you probably like have a good chance of like pulling out the victory here because your team has been playing pretty good defense. That like, it's very, very exciting, at least to me. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, a game could drag on in that sense, but this one did not. This was not a boring game. This was both teams trying very, very hard to win this game. It's the chance.
It sounds like it was like a tug of war, where it's not like it all just stayed in the middle the whole time.
No,
right? It's just like it swings back and forth. It's just that nobody has fallen over yet.
There was a penalty shot. There's a, you know, in like the first 4 minutes of the game. Senegal or Egypt, sorry, gave up, sort of did a slide tackle on the player, completely missed the ball, hit the player. And so they get that penalty shot and they stopped it. You know, like it was like very exciting from the get-go of the game. So, yeah.
I should note, tug of war, also former Olympic sport, little known fact, wild. Okay, well, we're done talking about Olympics, but that's amazing. You've convinced me that a 0-0 game can be interesting in football. So I'm down.
So that's the Africa Cup of Nations. Very exciting. Sadio Mane was very excited. I think he was named player of the game, player of the tournament. Fun game. He is a, you know, I will advocate very highly for him. He's a Liverpool striker. He's very fun. He's very good. And so they pull out the victory. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about these two, as we're talking about Salah and Mane, or Liverpool players. This was a tournament that they left the Liverpool team to go and play in this tournament over the course of January. And I mean, European soccer and football, you know, across the basically, you know, across the ocean from North America. There's a lot of different. I think one of the most fun things is that, like, yesterday I watched the game. It wasn't even a like a Premier League game. It was called the FA Cup, and they play in all these like different tournaments and whatever. And I feel like sometimes when people are interested in football, for me, I wanted to like, I just didn't know where to start with football because it feels. I understand how the game of soccer works, but I didn't really understand how like the Premier League worked or like how I was supposed to get into a team. I just picked a team, but Puya, you were saying you've been a longtime soccer fan, but the Premier League is your thing. Who's your team in the Premier League?
My team has been,
oh, you said Man United.
Yeah, Man United, yeah. Since like I was 6 or 7 years old, and it was, you know, I stuck with them. My favorite player of all time is Rio Ferdinand. He's the reason why I played center back. Growing up. So I definitely have been, you know, holding Manchester United near and dear for a long time, even though they have not been so nice to me the last decade. So,
yeah. So you've been a longtime fan, but if you were to, you know, give folks who are not a football fan, soccer fans, I'm not getting into it. You know, Troy saying, you know, having some interest in a 0-0 game, watching some in his future. What's your?
I don't blame myself. Can I just say, I'm sorry. It's not me, my fault. It's my parents' fault. I wasn't allowed to play soccer as a kid.
Yeah.
My mom didn't want to be a soccer mom, so I could play any sport but soccer. So I just never got into it. Yeah. But I'm fascinated to learn more. So please tell me more.
But Puya, what's the pitch? What's the pitch for the Premier League for soccer?
Okay, so for soccer in general,
The pitch is the field. That was the correct answer.
Yeah, the pitch is the field. Okay, so there's no better time than now to pick up soccer and you know become a fan of any kind of soccer situation. Not only, so we're primarily talking about the Premier League today, but there are five major leagues in the world of football. Five big leagues are the league in England, which is the Premier League, La Liga, which is in Spain, the Italian league, the French league, and the German league, the Bundesliga. So those are the five top. There's so many teams overall there. There's
also the LMS, right? Which like is not, I would say they're a major league, but it does also exist. There is a major.
The MLS is also a thing. And that's right here in the backyard in North America as well.
Yep.
Also the, European clubs also have a European Championship League every year. And the Champions League there is a lot of fun as well. So there's all that. There's that tournament guaranteed every year. Every single league is guaranteed every year. Then on top of that, this year, at the end of the year in December, we have the World Cup.
Yep.
So all of this is going to be going down. And the difference between soccer and other sports is that every other league is very well connected through the transfer market. You can, and because these teams meet each other often in the Champions League, and so it feels a lot more fluid than like if you're playing in the NHL, you're not, you know, linked to any other league at all. Whereas here, it feels a little bit more open ended. So
like if you play it for the Yankees, you're not like going to get traded to Japan. But like in kind of in soccer, like we just finished the transfer window, which is the mid-season transfer where in January you can make deals. And typically it's not trades as much as you would you would sign a player, like you would pay a fee to the other team to let that player come and play. And now they're on your team, or they could be on loan and the loan could be returned. But yeah, it really is like you know, you might a guy in Liverpool just came for, I think from Porto. Like so you know, they're like, you know, yeah, you really are. They are like traveling all over the world.
Especially with these big leagues, none of them feel like a step down. So they're all pretty much equal transfers. So it's not like, this person who is like a big name in the NFL just suddenly got up and went to the CFL for the remainder of the year. And everyone's looking down on that of like, oh, that's a lesser level league. That's not the case here necessarily. So there is. And also it's a global sport. So worldwide, it is the most popular sport in the world. Soccer is. So there's always someone ready to talk about it. And living in North America, like Grace mentioned, you have the benefit of having early games that you can check out. There's afternoon games. If you follow the MLS, there's evening games.
Yeah.
So there's always a game if you wanted to check one out, you know?
And I will say, it seems like EPL games are easier to find on American TV than they ever have been before.
Yeah,
NBC seems to be covering it hugely. Mm-hmm.
NBC paid a lot of money. This is like how Ted Lasso exists, is because NBC was getting the Premier League and they did these stupid commercials with Jason Sudeikis. That's literally how Ted Lasso is a show based off of a commercial, basically. Because it's a NBC,
big show now, too.
Yeah, because they were getting the Premier League. DAZN, that's how I watch a lot of stuff. The one thing I will say is kind of annoying. There are so many little tournaments that depending on, sometimes stuff is really hard to find. I couldn't really find the Liverpool game. I had to track it down a lot because that was what was known as like the Football Association Cup, the FA Cup game. So it wasn't a league game. So like the broadcast,
they don't have the rights for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So DAZN didn't have it. My like cable didn't have it. So I had to like scour the internet for it. But, for the most part, I just think like the nature of the way at least the Premier League is set up with. So I think the one big difference that like is typically a shock, not a shock, but like people kind of look down on it. There's no playoffs. So every game matters in the league. Mm. So, you know, just because your team is playing the last ranked club in the standings on the weekend doesn't mean that game isn't important. It's like if you lose, that's bad and it's bad for your record. You know, every game in the season matters. And so that does lead to some funky stuff where like sometimes the championship is like, I think there was a few seasons when Man City won, they basically won, like clinched their championship when another team lost like away.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to the wire a lot of times.
And you know, there's no, oh, we're going to tank the season for a draft pick. There's no drafts in soccer.
We should talk about regulation.
You have a youth club system that you can have. You can bring younger players, but there's no drafting and you get relegated. Like the bottom three teams will get relegated to the second division. And that is a lot less money. They don't have the TV deals for the second division. So your club stands to lose a lot from getting relegated. So it gets intense.
So the bottom three teams in the Premier League every year, whichever three teams are the lowest in the standing, will get relegated down to, I always think the naming conventions are weird. You get relegated to the English Championship League.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then down to League One. It's like, what?
League One.
Yeah. Then League Two, which is the fourth division.
I also think there's, you know, if you have a team, so say you support a team that's like lower down and not in the Premier League, there is like, you know, just because of the nature of like how much money your club is getting and stuff like that, like there is your team is probably less likely to be like, be longer into these, like some of these other tournaments and some of these other stuff. But also there is a chance, like you could support a team that's like starts in like the third league down and one day they're like in the Premier League. Like there's a lot of like consistent players in the Premier League, like the teams who sort of stick in there, but because of regulation, like you never know. And there's some fun stuff in the FA Cup. I think there was a team in the sixth league that made it into this last, they just got eliminated this last weekend. And now there's a fifth place team. But like, that's the stuff that happens in this, in these leagues, like this dramatic, disparity between the teams with these like ultimate underdog stories. Right. It's very fun.
I became aware of it because of John Green, who's a YouTuber and internet figure, big fan of AFC Wimbledon and the story of basically how that team got sold and turned into the MK Dons. And a bunch of like people in the neighborhood started their own team at the very bottom league, like the eighth tier league, and have worked there all the way up to League One. And that it's like now a legit professional team that is like trying to avoid relegation and eventually get promoted up into the Championship League. And that's a fascinating story that like to imagine that suddenly the Red Sox could be a minor league team.
Yeah.
Is just unfathomable to baseball fans. But the stakes are so high. The stakes are incredibly high as a result.
Yeah. Like this year, Newcastle United, which is one of the older teams, a massive team, big following in like the Geordie community, they got taken over by some, I think it's a company in Saudi took them over, but they basically got an influx of revenue put behind them, but they're also like 20th in the league right now. And they have to claw their way out of relegation. And they have only 1 month during the, because in a regular season of soccer, you are able to make any transfers you want during off season. Then the season starts, and by like September 1st, no more transfers until January. You have 1 month to make as many changes as you could if you were able to before it's closed, and then you have to play, which is what we're going to talk about today. So Newcastle is literally bottom of the barrel, have now, you know, picked up two or three pieces and have to hope that they can survive to stay in the Premier League, because this owner literally bought them for a buttload of money, like just this past year. It's stakes couldn't be higher for Newcastle right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fun too. Like, there's the last games of these seasons will matter. I think they're in 19th place. I think Burnley is in 20th. Yeah,
Burnley.
Place.
Burnley has two games in hand, though. They're two games behind.
Right. Mm. But just one lone win for Burnley so far, as Newcastle has two. But So we just finished the transfer window. Typically the January transfer window will be slower by the matter of, like, you know, it's the middle of the season. So yeah, there might be some teams who want to make some upgrades, but you're also trying to like upgrade your team in the middle of the season. So it's a little bit slower. There's some teams that did a fair bit. Troy, you don't have a team, right? You don't have
one? I ain't got no team. No, I have like I would say like maybe possible seeds of a team that I could build something around.
Okay.
My cousin is a big Tottenham Hotspurs fan. I feel like every tweet he sends out has like hashtag COYS, and I had to ask him what the heck that meant. And then,
do you know what it means now?
Come on, you Spurs. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That's a thing. I got that one right. Points. Mm-hmm. And then one of my sister's best friends lives in an apartment complex that's the old Arsenal stadium.
Oh,
and like their stop is the Arsenal stop. So I'm like a little bit like, maybe if I had to pick a team, it might be one of those.
Just a heads up, I gotta play the field, right?
Yeah,
if you pick one of those teams, the other friend will be mad because those are two rival teams.
Yeah. Okay.
Big rival teams.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like, this is Yankees Red Sox. This is like, okay.
So when I thought about like, okay, I want to, you know, pick a team, I'm going to watch. And to me, that's how I got into soccer. I will say I'm like pretty, you know, the rest of the league, I'm pretty like, I kind of know what's happening, but do I know like the ins and outs of every team? No, I follow Liverpool. I watch every Liverpool game. And so I feel like I know that team pretty well. And everything else is like kind of, you know, I might know it, I might not know it. But that's how I got into it, because I figured like that was an easy way to like, rather than needing to know everything. And it's a pretty typical like sports thing is like, who's your team? So when I picked
Liverpool, who's your team? That's Indiana.
Who's your team? Yeah. I feel like I got, what I did was I looked for a team that had not won in a little bit. And so Liverpool had not won, say the Premier League is, as a concept, is actually kind of new, but in terms of like winning the top league in English soccer, they had not won in a very long time. And I have some friends from Liverpool and the Beatles are from Liverpool. So it's like, okay, that's the team I'm going to pick. I got super lucky. Within like 3 years of me picking them, they won the world. They were the best team in the world. They were the best team in Europe, and they were the best team in England.
So yeah,
I've had a good run. I have a good run. So I don't know if I can help you become that lucky, Troy, in terms of like picking someone. But for me, that was like, I didn't want to feel like I was jumping on a bandwagon, although I don't really care. You could jump on.
Well, that's the thing though, year, right? Like, that would be my first criterion, is like, you cannot have won in the last 10 years. Like, I want to be on board with the fan base who's like going to like shed decades of frustration, but they actually have a chance to win. That's what I want.
Yeah. Okay, well, easily you are now saying Man City off the board, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah, that's great. I don't, you can't be a Man City fan.
No, the Man City is, and take no offense, Man City fans, come from Man United fan. It's mostly bandwagoners who jumped in when they became good. Like, that's really how I feel about the Man City fandom.
Do you want do you want like a star player? Is there like a play? Cause I mean, Tottenham Hotspur, they're an interesting choice. They have not won. I'm pretty sure. I just want to make sure they've not won the Premier League or like the level one championship since 1961.
Yeah. So the meme is they never win.
They never win. So
that's appealing.
But they do have Harry Kane, who is one of, you know, probably
Harry
not
King.
Kane.
Okay.
Yeah, like the big red.
First, you were talking about Man City and then a Harry King. And I was like, what podcast am I on?
Like, I don't know if he would be, you know, he's still very good, but he's a striker, plays a front, very fun. He's been good recently. So you kind of get like, you know, you have someone you can root for. I hate when Liverpool plays the Spurs, because what the Spurs do is they play this like very fun counterattack. So the counterattack basically, like, they sort of set up their players up front, their strikers, to be pretty close to the last line of defense, right? The offside rule is there's no line on the field. It's whoever the last defender is. When the ball gets kicked, you just have to be behind one of the defenders. You can move past it when the ball is in the air. And God, the Spurs have such a good counterattack, and they're so annoying to play because Liverpool will have like control. Liverpool's a very like control heavy team. So control the ball, look for their shots, sort of take a lot of like set pieces where they, you know, they take a foul and they get to kick the ball in, or they take a corner kick. But Spurs play this like heavy counterattack that's so annoying because Liverpool will have control of the ball for a while. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's Harry Kane, like with the ball up the field about to score. Mm-hmm. Like it's so frustrating. I don't know. That's like, that's interesting to talk about, like those two style plays. What style of play would you say, like, does Man United play, Puya?
Man United. Okay. So Man United is interesting because whatever we did before Grace doesn't matter, because now Cristiano Ronaldo's on our team again.
Yeah. Did you know this, Troy? You know,
well, Cristiano this is Ronaldo. My thing. This is my thing. Like, I cannot pick a team based on players because it's all going to change, right? You got to pick a team based on.
They do leave. They leave. They leave you behind. And basically our team becomes, well, Cristiano's playing, so we got to let him decide what's happening. And, and you know, to me, it gets frustrating with Cristiano because, you know, we did some transfer this year. We brought in Jadon Sancho, who I love, very excited to see him in the team. And we brought in Rafael Varane. I was like, okay, we have Martial. I'm like, let's see Martial play again. Rashford's coming back, exciting. And then once Cristiano comes in, it messes the system because he has to play 90 minutes. He's a world class player. So now the team is follow the Ronaldo, and then we'll see. And we have Bruno Fernandes, who's obviously amazing. But yeah, their formation right now is break my heart 1-2-3. So that's what they're doing. But we'll see where it goes. So to help Troy here, Troy, what's your favorite color?
Oh my gosh. The honest answer is my two favorite colors are purple and green, which are also the colors of my favorite Girl Scout cookie boxes. So okay, I learned that late in life, but I also have a lot of red clothing because of Stanford.
I do think like the color is a good question. I do think finding a team who is going to get to play like maybe in the Champions League, you know, they're going to be in the FA Cup, they're going to be in the Carabao Cup, like the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, Troy, they're like less important tournaments, but like your team will be in it. What's kind
care
of fun,
about like I have to care about a cup,
is that what Carabao? I think Carabao Cup, I don't know, I think that's the sponsor name.
Goofy name.
But what's fun about even those tournaments is when you're a good team, they play their second string unit. They play their young kids. So that, because often late in the tournament, like the thing that's Jurgen Klopp is the manager of Liverpool. He's this German guy. He's amazing.
That's the made up name. Jurgen Klopp. You've given me four names and I picked the made up. That's the Baba Tunde, right?
He's amazing. He's so passionate. He got a fine one time because he like ran on the field at, like when they scored like a goal and like the overtime, whatever. He's awesome. But he's
what gave the champ the trophies to Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah. He brought them basically he's like coming in and like fixing the system basically, but he has been a huge component because his team is very good. And they're often in a bunch of these tournaments. He is one of the biggest, like he complains a lot about scheduling, like a lot. But it's one of the, so he often like when, like they, when Liverpool gets into like the third, especially if they have a team that is like not in the Premier League, if they're playing somebody in the FA Cup, he will play his like backups predominantly. But I mean, that's fun too. But I do feel like there would be something to like picking a team who potentially could be in Champions League, because like, yeah, playing the other European teams is a fun way to learn those teams, playing in the Champions League, and you get to be you're in all the tournaments. Like basically the better team, like higher up you get, you don't start.
I'm looking
knockout stages where you're not involved. But
I'm looking at the table now, and I just I just want to knock out, like, Wolves is just like, no, that's a stupid name for a team. Come at me, bro. So no. And I'm like, it's very on the American. Fence about,
it's very American versus like all these things are like, you know, Liverpool FC.
I want it to feel like British, right? Yeah. Like, you know, West Ham also, I have a tough time with that name, but I at least like it feels British, right?
You should check out the West Ham mascot because he's fun. You might like having a cool mascot.
Okay. Hammerhead, is that a thing?
I mean, if you're saying that the team can't have won in the last 10 years, you're knocking out basically for sure Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester City, and Man United. Basically, are the
Everton's
teams
like, not a bad pick for you either. Everton can be is rivals 16th right now.
Yeah,
yeah, but they've, you know, up until these last couple of years, they're typically thought of as like a top seven, top eight team. And they're just having a rough patch right now. They did grab a couple good loan players.
Aston Villa is one in there that could be fun. They are kind of determined to want to try to be
married
good.
To Demi Moore at one point. That's Ashton Kutcher.
Aston Villa has a manager, Steven Gerrard, who is a former Liverpool player and sort of he's younger.
I know that name.
Yeah. And so they just made some big moves on the in the transfer, including bringing in a player who played with Steven Gerrard. They're going to bring in Philip Coutinho.
I mean, Everton brought in Frank Lampard as their coach.
Yep, true. So. Everton, Aston Villa are fun teams. Crystal Palace could be fun. I'm trying to, you know, I mean, Tottenham, really, they have not won. That could be fun.
I feel like maybe I'm coming around to Tottenham. Like, it also looks like they're in like North London, which is near where my sister lives. So it's semi reasonable. I could actually go to. You call it a match? A game? I see this is
a match. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to figure this out before I go subject myself to the hooligans.
Well, not to make this more difficult for you, but Arsenal is also in, like, they're based in London, so you could also catch their games there too.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I'm not feeling, even though my D&D character fires cannons, like maybe I'm not feeling the arsenal of it all. You know what I'm going to have to do? I think I'm going to have to dig into the history or the origin of these names, because I'm a big history fan. So the more lore there is, the more likely I am to engage.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay. You don't have to make decisions. I think this is just sort of a fun exercise, a way for us to chat about different teams.
But yeah, it sounds like
we should talk about
this is a lifetime commitment, right? So
yeah,
if you're with a team,
that's your team now. Yeah,
yeah.
As far as anything else, Grace, I feel like the transfer window was it was fine. The deadline was what excited me, especially with Everton getting both Dele Alli from Tottenham and getting Van de Beek from United. I thought both were players that desperately needed a change of scenery and play time. So
I couldn't agree more. There was good hands. Dele Alli was this thing where it felt like he's only 25 and somehow he felt like he was like washed up already in some ways. And I
started free falling. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think a move here will be really good. Good for him. I'm very happy with what Liverpool are able to do. Bringing Luis Diaz is good. Not that there's an interesting concept a friend of mine was talking about, where I think it's from baseball, where the best thing you can do at like a trade deadline is actually like make the things you're good at actually better. So there's this like thinking that if you have if you don't have a strong striker, go out and look for a striker. But there's also this thinking that if you're just really good already at like Liverpool has three amazing strikers, technically kind of four with Jota now, and you add like another one, it's like that's scary. You know, like the whole game, there's just going to be no letting up from the front of the pitch. So it's pretty fun. I don't know. Do you have predictions here? Do you think Man City, they have basically a 9-point lead at this point? Do you see anybody overtaking Man City by the end of the season?
I feel like Chelsea was a lot of people's predictions to come over this season and take the league. They're falling behind a little. Liverpool's been keeping it up. It's a three horse race between the three of them, but City would have to fall down 9. And I just don't see them being able. And City's also one game ahead of Chelsea and only one behind of Liverpool. So Sorry, one ahead, two. Okay, never mind. But no, I think City's most likely clutch this. I think the interesting part of the league now, Grace, is who's going to make it to Champions League football? So who's going to finish top four? So who's going to get fourth place is important. And can Newcastle dig their way out of what hole they're in right now?
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like Liverpool, they're in second place for now. I don't foresee them overtaking Man City just because I think Man City is so freaking strong. They're so good. This is the time of the year last year where they actually like got better than they were. And so like, yeah, this team can just like not only just like continue what they're doing, but also like kick it up a notch. I just don't see how anybody can surpass them. So I feel like this is like, yeah, Troy, you absolutely cannot be a Man City fan. This will be the fourth Premier League title in 5 years, right? If they win this year.
Okay, I'll do my part.
Yeah, with Pep.
Who's Man City's rival? Is it Man U?
Their most natural rival? I mean, Man United makes sense.
Can I just cheer for everyone except Man City? Is that an acceptable thing?
Yeah, that's great.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be my default for now. That way we've at least decided something.
Do they have a derby appointment? Who's their derby opponent? Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think United and City is the rivalry, is the top rivalry here.
Yeah.
Feels like just you as a lifetime United fan being unsure about that.
United and Liverpool are touted as the big rivalry. They have a rivalry, but then there's other rivalries as well. There's not just one, you know, there's like the Merseyside Derby and so on. So like United and Chelsea for me growing up, like in the mid 2000s, it was United versus Chelsea for me. That was like, I saw that as the rivalry. There's a lot of them that go on. And, you know, I just want to make sure I did right by that. Cause like, since I moved to North America, I've watched soccer significantly less, but I still keep an eye on everything. And this is 100% to do with the fact that the games are early in the morning now. Unlike Grace enjoys watching the early games. Nah, I'm sleeping in. I like waking up and spending the first 10 minutes looking at the stats, looking at the games, what happened, looking at a couple highlights. Because typically for me, soccer would go down at like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night.
Right.
If it was a later game, maybe we'd go to like a shisha lounge, smoke some hookah and watch, you know, that's what it was in the Middle East. And now it's like, nope, this is not breakfast activity for me.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I had to do, Pio, is like, as I was becoming more of a fan and like, you know, Google now tracks everything we do. And so like, as I would be searching, my phone would start to be like, oh, it's like Liverpool won. And I was like, no, I was going to watch it. Just, you know,
it's like, it's the 70th minute and it's 0-0. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
I don't want to know. I want to be so in the dark. So I like, it's this weird balance of being this fan where I had to like, try to like limit. I'm like muting hashtags on Twitter. So I make sure I don't get like, you know, hashtag live Eve. It's just like liver and Liverpool versus Everton. Like there's this weird things you start to do. So when you become the sports fan, because specifically now where the AI is too good. I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I have to watch the Olympics live. That's why I just have to stay up and deal with it for 2 weeks. Cause you can't avoid it. It's unavoidable these days.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we should chat about? This is very fun. Thanks for chatting football. I mean, if people have more questions, hit us up on Twitter. We'll help you find a team. It just won't be Man City.
I imagine that a future podcast you'll talk about the like World Cup qualifying of it all. But I just want to say like Canada, US, Mexico, all in the hot of it, all that I have been tracking and is fascinating to follow.
Canada looks like might actually qualify for the Men's World Cup.
I mean, first time in my lifetime, Canada will be in the World Cup, which I'm very excited about. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's quickly, in the last few minutes here, we'll go quick hits around the league. What do we think? The Washington football team officially picked their new name. They are now the Washington Commanders. What do we think? Yay or nay on the team name?
Okay. It's better than the last name.
Yeah, well, I think
low bar.
Yeah, low bar. Better than the old name. I really, honestly, though, better than Washington football team. Maybe not.
I kind of like WFT, but I don't know. It's very European soccer, actually.
I would much rather them have gone with Washington, the footballers, and do the WTF. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But sure, Commanders, okay, fine. Well, it doesn't do much for me, but it does set up this amazing thing where it's like, you know, the Washington Capitals, the Washington Commanders, the Washington Nationals, and the Washington Wizards of the NBA.
The Wizards are great. I love that team name. It's great. I've been to a Wizards game. The Commanders, that's okay. I kind of like, actually, that's probably the best argument I've heard for it, is the branding amongst the other team names. Troy, you are a Bengals fan. Next week, it is the Super Bowl. We will have a full Super Bowl recap. I know for sure we'll be joined by Rob Cesternino. He specifically very much wants to talk about the commercials, so that will be fun. But Troy, I believe you gave us your Super Bowl prediction already. You have the Bengals being the Rams. Puya, what do you think?
So I am a new convert to like following and having my own football team to root for. I am a Baltimore Ravens fan. Okay.
As many rap Ravens fans. So yeah. That does not surprise me. Yeah.
I did go over to one of my mains in the Ravens flock. I said, Chappelle, who are we rooting for this Sunday? And he said, we're rooting for the Rams. So I'm rooting for the Rams this Sunday.
I have to say, it's a good, I've said on this podcast, I don't really have a team. The closest I would have is maybe the Titans, but gosh, being able to join you, Mari, Chappelle, Jason Reed. That's a pretty good crew.
Do it, especially like for me, you know, I went to Carleton University and we're the Carleton Ravens. So I'm just changing the where it starts and staying with Ravens. Let's do it.
That's true.
Then that's just more people to add to the list for the two message on Monday.
Yes. All right. So we have that. There's a story I want to touch on briefly for sure. But we have this the lawsuit by Brian Flores. Been a big week with lots of head coach signings. But last week came out that Brian Flores is suing the NFL, claiming that they're discriminating against black coaches. And one of the things that came out was basically like he went for an interview, I believe, with the Giants, and before his interview, Bill Belichick texted him and said, hey, congrats, you got the job. Turns out Bill Belichick was actually texting the wrong Brian, and they're hiring a different Brian for the job. And yet Brian Flores had not yet had his interview. He was going in later in the week, which gives some credence to the idea that this rule in the NFL that you have to interview at least one black coach, that a lot of teams, you know, especially someone like Brian Flores, who was like an NFL coach, there's lots of controversy with him being asked to throw games and things, that now he's someone who has experience that they can sort of just interview to, you know, meet the requirements of the rule, and that they really had no intention of ever hiring him, causing, you know, throwing some legitimacy on the claim that, you know, the whole rule, you know, is not serving the purpose that it was designed to do. And that the NFL has a pretty big problem in terms of its hiring practices. So I just want to touch on that. We'll have more along the way as we update it, but I don't know, any thoughts from either of you on this, the Brian Flores situation? I mean, pretty embarrassing, I think, for a Bill Belichick. And then I think the NFL entirely.
If you haven't read the receipts on this one, it's pretty wild to actually see it. And I think it's just worth noting that Flores is like very much going out on a limb, risking his entire career in order to make this happen and to create some change in accountability. And, you know, the NFL is led by a group of owners who are taking advantage of and not paying a lot of people what they should be paid. And like, it's a very small group of people who make a lot of these decisions. And so a lot of bravery on his part, and I'll be fascinated to see what comes out from it all.
Yeah. I think real change, you know, is very much needed in the NFL in terms of, you know, who they're, you know, diversity, who they're putting in these positions. It's you know, their systems are currently well outdated. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we had a couple of all-star events this past weekend. The Pro Bowl was yesterday, as well as it was the NHL All-Star Weekend. I actually, I didn't realize, I've been a little bit out of the world of NHL, but I really liked their format in the NHL game. They basically, with four divisions recently, have made it so it's like this little mini tournament. The team or the division that gets the best score in the skills competition gets to pick which team they want to play against. It was these like two 10-minute halves, three-on-three hockey. I don't know if either of you checked it out, but I thought it was very, very fun. And like typically the All-Star game is something that I sort of check out on. And I thought this was like a really, really fun way to showcase hockey specifically. Either of you check out any of the All-Star festivities? It's okay if you did.
I did not.
Yeah. I did not.
But there was one very cool thing. If you should choose, both of you need to check out Tyler Zegras. It was
that I did see.
Okay. It was someone's going to kill me. A breakaway challenge. It was like a skills challenge. You can do whatever you want. Kind of like slam dunk competition.
Yeah. Like a skill shot.
And Trevor Zegras, has this unreal shot where he blindfolds himself and like spins around and shoots the puck into the net. It's unreal. It's so cool. It's like, if they could like transfer all this energy into like regular season NHL, that amazing.
But is it as good as the knuckle puck from Mighty Ducks 2?
Nothing ever is. No. The flying V, no one flying got that. V?
Julie the Cat, come on.
The flying V was actually like pretty big. You know, the 3-on-3, it was much easier to pull off the flying V.
The 3-on-3 format's amazing. I got to go watch a lot of the All-Star Weekend when it was in San Jose, and I didn't watch this year, but it's a really fun format that's really high-paced. That's why I love the like 3-on-3 overtime or 4-on-4 overtime like changes. I just think like the fewer players out there, the faster paced and the more fun it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just feel like that's like other leagues should be taking note of like what works on All-Star, you know, weekend stuff. I feel like the Pro Bowl does not work.
No, no one's watching the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Anything else in the world of sports either of you wanted to chat about before we go?
Just speaking of the football of it all, just like thanks for all the fish, Tom Brady, and so long. And I'm glad to never have to play against you again.
Yeah, that's great. All right. We will be back next week. Super Bowl is next Sunday. We'll be back on Monday to chat through the game, the halftime show, and the commercials. Rob will be joining us probably as well as at least one other guest. We'll see you then. Before we go, Puya, where can people find you and what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream the 3-4 times a week. I talked with Rob about this week's 90 Day Fiance before the 90 Days episode, which is fun. And we also wrapped up 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life, officially over now after part two of the tell-all. And coming soon, in about a week, actually, I will be meeting up with Dee Chappelle on a podcast to talk all about Bel Air on Post-Show Recaps. I'm amazing. Very excited to see how that's going to play out.
This is the Fresh Prince reboot. I'm very excited. Looks good.
That's right. Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah, it's going to be different, but I'm excited to see how, you know?
Yeah, it looks like serious, which I'm like, you know, Will Smith is involved, right? So I trust him. Yeah.
And then if you know, it's me and Chappelle, so we're not serious. So I'm curious how that's going to play out. I don't know that formula.
My favorite brand. It's like the series show or the podcast is ridiculous. I really enjoy that. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. Trey, what about you? Where can people find you and what are you up to?
Yeah, I think most relevant for this crew, you can follow me on Twitter at DJ LaBelle Klein. Not been tweeting over there too much, but if people want Olympics tweets or like are interested in that, I didn't even get into like the figure skating of it all. The Kamila Valieva, the Russian figure skater who could be the best ever, even though she's 15. I could tweet about that over at DJ LaBelle Klein if people are interested in learning more about the figure skating of it all. Or you could find me probably on the Post Show Recaps Discord where I run a lot of Dungeons and Dragons games. So you know, come find me, shout at me about Olympic stuff, and maybe I'll come talk about it over there.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. Lots of stuff over on Post Show Recaps. Euphoria coverage every Monday with Amon and a rotating crew of guests. Also covering Raised by Wolves with currently getting through season one with Josh, but we start to dive into season two. Hopefully we will be joined by Taryn Armstrong doing movie coverage with Ariel each week. So lots going on over there. Do a podcast called Hold Up with a co-host Hudson, where we watch LGBTQ media from the past and see if it holds up and a lot more. Troy, we play D&D in space on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. On twitch.tv/DMPhilly. check that out. It's very fun. Sometimes on Fridays, I play D&D also on the Philly's channel, where we play little furry woodland creatures. Also very fun. So if you're interested in D&D, come check that out. I think that's it. Until next time, the podcast is over.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.